take your Bible tonight, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. Joshua 1:8 is a very, very popular verse. Many of you have heard it. Many of you have memorized it. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. Joshua 1:8. I was preaching in Missouri at a home for rebellious young men. And there were a couple of hundred of young men there. And after I preached one night, a young man came to me and he asked me a question. And he was very sincere. One of the simplest questions you've ever been asked in your life. But he said, "Why should we obey God?" He wasn't being snotty. He wasn't being arrogant. He actually had that sincere question. I probably stood outside the chapel in the out of doors under a big street light for about 25 or 30 minutes, and I gave him the reasons why you obey God. I'm going to share that with you tonight. I want you to stand with me. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Father, bless us tonight. The sermon is so simple, and yet the question was so simple, but the answer so important. Tonight, help us to understand why we obey you. Bless this night in a supernatural way. Help the simplicity of the sermon to make the impact, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I'm going to tell you a true story real quickly before I get started with the sermon. It occurred on the 28th of August in year 2003. It started at 2:30 in the afternoon. A 46-year-old man by the name of Brian Wells. Brian was a pizza delivery man. He delivered pizza for Mama Mia's Pizza in Erie, Pennsylvania. He walked into a PNC bank. He had a bomb handcuffed around his neck. He told the tellers there that he needed them to give him money. He said that three men had forced him to put that bomb on. He was to walk in, get the money, and walk out. If he did not do what he was told, that the bomb would then be detonated and he would be put to death. He was asked for $250,000. When he stepped out of the bank after this process, he only ended up with $8,700, the amount of money he wanted. Either they did not have access to it or did not give it to him, or I'm not sure why he didn't get what he asked for, but he only had $8,700. The way this story goes, he stepped out of the bank, and then he was told he was to go on a scavenger hunt to find a few clues that would help him to take the bomb off of him, and he only had 30 minutes to find those clues. So he was to drive to certain places in town. There were certain things that would help to take that bomb off of his neck. And again, he only had 30 minutes to get it done. Come to find out, he was actually a part of the robbery. Now, he thought that he and his friends that put this scheme together, he thought, though, that the bomb was not real. He found out after he came out of the bank that the bomb was real. He found himself just about 20 minutes later surrounded by police officers in a parking lot. And at 3:18 that day, the bomb exploded and it killed him. Now, they thought, and he thought, he had a foolproof plan for bank robbery success, but his plan backfired on him. Literally, it backfired on him. You say, "That's silly." Can I tell you something? You and I tend to make a lot of plans for our own lives, and they usually backfire too. Now, obviously, not to that degree, but man thinks he knows better than God, but we don't. I was speaking to a young man, and he was in a home for rebellious teenagers, and he asked me the question very sincerely, why Why do I want to obey God? Now, let me tell you the very first thing I told him. I said, well, one reason why you ought to obey God is if you obey God, you don't end up at a place like this. And he said, point well taken. But I began to talk to him I was very quick. I didn't take a long time because I really wanted to give him some simple reasons why he ought to obey God with his life. To the best of my ability, I'm going to tell you what those reasons are. I didn't have an outline prepared for him. He asked the question after I had preached to the big group of young people there. But I think for the most part, I was able to reproduce tonight the answer to his very simple question. Let me tell you what I told him. I told him, I said, first of all, when you obey God, it'll produce success in your life. It'll produce success. The verse that we read earlier, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I told him, I said, the Bible is the way you obey God is through the Word of God. And I'll tell you right now that the Bible is a success manual. It will help you to succeed. And I told him about this verse, and I said, the Bible doesn't just say that your obedience to God will bring success. It says it will bring good success. I said, there are some people in the world that would have what they would call success, but let me tell you, Christians that obey the Word of God, they don't have just success, they have good success. And I told him this. I said, if you'd like to have success in marriage someday, obey God. If you'd like to have success in business someday, obey God. If you'd like to have success in rearing your own children someday, obey God. If you would like to have some success in your finances, obey God. If you would like to have success in your own emotions, obey God. I said, if you'd like to just be a success, I will promise you, if you will obey God, it'll bring success in your life. I said, let me tell you something else. There's a second reason why you ought to just obey God. I said, if you will, you'll be happier. He said, I'm going to guess, if I know anything about the dorms in which you stay and the atmosphere in which you find yourself, it's not real happy. He said, no, sir, it is not. I said, I've learned that obeying God brings happiness in life. I said, don't you want to be happy? He said, I sure do. I referred him to John chapter 13, verse number 17, where it says this, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And that's in reference to just obeying God and obeying the Bible. I told him about Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it goes on and talks about what a person's supposed to do. But I told him, I said, when you see the word blessed in the Bible, often the word blessed is equal to our word happy. Happy is the man. The word blessed is a lot like our word happy or our word joy. And I told him, I said, how would you like to have a happy marriage someday? He said, well, my parents aren't real happy. I said, I'm going to tell you, the Bible teaches if you obey God, you stand a far greater chance of having a happy marriage. And you can have happier children and a happier home and happier relationships. And to be honest, you're going to have a happy heart. He said, you know, Brother Owens, I've thought about killing myself. I said, doesn't sound like you have a happy heart. So he asked me a real simple question. Why obey God? And I told him, I said, you want to succeed? Obey God. You want to be happy? Obey God. Then I told him this. I said, you know, you ought to love the Lord. And when you obey Him, it's the way that you show Him that you love Him. Now, to all of you, you might say, that's so simple and obvious. Well, you have to understand that when someone is as confused as what he was really trying to figure it out. And I said, you're supposed to love the Lord, but when you obey Him, that is how you prove that you love Him. John 14:21 says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. In obeying God, you're proving a love for God. It says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I told him this, and I've said this to a lot of people, and sometimes it's not taken very well. I tell people, you don't love God because you say you do. You love God because you obey God. Y'all ever heard that old saying, talk is cheap? Yeah, there are people that will say something, but there's... You ever heard someone say, the proof's in the pudding? And I don't know what that means, but if a proof that you can make good food is in the pudding, I understand that. Yeah, better let me taste it. But don't just tell me how good it is. Let me taste it. But I told him, I said, a way to prove you love God is to obey God. And I could just see his brain was a-clicking. I said, and son, and I know his name. I'm not going to use it because I never want to embarrass him. But I said, son, a way to prove to your mom and dad you love them is obey them. He said, you know, I never really thought about that. He said, do you think my mom and dad are wondering about my love? I'd say, I would guess. I guess they're probably wondering if you love them. Because obviously, disobedience helped to get you here. And I told him, I said, your obedience to God is the way you let God know that you love him. Hey, to me, to whatever degree you obey God, to that degree, you love God. I get around religious people. Oh, I love God. And they never go to church. They never do anything for God. They live their lives contrary to the Bible. And I've got to tell you, while they're busy saying, oh, I love God so much, on the inside I'm thinking, I don't think so. And it's not me analyzing them. It's the Scripture analyzing them. Because he said, if you love me, obey me. So I very simply told him, I said, if when you obey God, it is the way that you let God know you love him. And he said this. He said, there's a lot of religious people around here. He said, and they go to our chapel services and they act kind of weird about they love God. He said, and then in the dorms, they're wicked and nasty. He said, that makes sense. Because if they really love God, why would they do that stuff behind his back? I said, you got it, buddy. He said, that makes sense. We went on. I said, I'll tell you another reason why you ought to obey God. It'll keep you from sin, and it'll keep you from destroying your life. And I told him, I said, Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I said, I believe that if you can memorize some scripture and you get the word of God in you, it can keep you away from wrong and sin in life. He said, man, they hammer us with that concept around here. He said, we're memorizing verses constantly. I said, they're doing you a favor. They are helping you. He said, but I don't understand all the scripture. I said, let me tell you something. You don't have to understand an antibiotic for it to do you good. I said, I've taken antibiotics before that I didn't understand, but they made me better. And I said, the scripture will do the same thing. You get it in you, and it will keep you from sin, and it will help you to stay away from wrong. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I told him, Bible obedience will keep you from sin. Bible obedience will keep you from destroying yourself. I said, I think obeying God can save a marriage. It can save children. It can save a home and a family. It can save your emotions. It can save your life. He said, wow. He said, I've been thinking about why you're supposed to obey God. He said, and he told me this. He said, I'd ask a counselor, and he just kind of told me off. He said, I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. I just wanted someone to tell me. Why? Why are we supposed to obey God? I told him this. I said, if you obey God, it will help you to have victory in your life. I said, it won't just save you from the wrong. It's going to give you some wonderful things to accomplish, and God will use you. I told him about a verse. It's James 4:7. I told him, I said, if you'll submit yourself to God, the Bible talks about then the resisting of the devil, it'll cause the devil to flee. He said, that would be nice. He said, I've been being told that the devil gets me into a lot of trouble. I said, well, let me tell you, if you'll obey God, that is a way to resist the devil, and the devil won't get you into so much trouble. He said, so you're telling me if I obey God, then the devil's not going to mess with me as much? I said, exactly. I said, if you will obey God, the devil tends to flee from that obedience. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here the Bible says we get victory through Jesus. I said, obey God, and it'll bring victory in your life. I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, I've not had much victory in my life. He said, it seems like I'm always a loser. He said, they come in here and they preach and talk about us being the scum of the earth and our behavior. And he said, that's me. He said, I'm pretty much a loser. I said, well, you don't have to be. I said, just obey God. He'll give you victory. You will be somebody if you'll obey God. You can be a winner. Hey, you can win. You can win over any vice in your life. He said, and he didn't understand the word vice. I said, any bad habit. He said, I get that. You can win over that bad habit by obeying God. I said, you can win over that depression. You remember you said you talked about hurting yourself. You don't have to do that. You can have victory over that. You can have victory over lust. And you can have victory over the hatreds of life. You're not supposed to hate people. You're supposed to hate sin. I said, you can have that. That's why we ought to obey God. Another thing I told him, I said, if you'll obey God, it shows that you're letting God have control in your life. Your obedience to God proves that you have made God the authority in your life. And he was a little confused. He wasn't real sure about the authority thing. I said, well, first of all, you ought not be trying to control your own life. Let God control it. And that's going to make a difference. Malachi 1:6 says this, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts. So basically, God is saying, if you love me, you ought to honor me, you ought to respect me, and I ought to be the authority in your life. I love the verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, I go back to the religious people. There are all sorts of religious people out there go around calling him Lord, and they've got all these real sentimental names that they use for God, but they don't obey a lick of the Bible. They don't go to church, and if they did, it wouldn't be a church that would say anything that was worth much. Oh, but they're religious, and they've got all their religious things about them. Well, if you will obey God, you are proving that he has authority in your life. And I told him, I said, God should be the ultimate authority in all parts of your life. I told him this. I said, the areas of the Bible that you do not submit to are the areas of the Bible you're still in charge of. The areas of the Bible that you do not submit to are the areas that you are still making the decisions. You're still doing what you want to do in those areas of life. And so I talked to him for a minute. I said, if you're not obeying the Bible in regard to music, that's a part of your life that you've decided you're going to run and not let God run. I said, if you don't obey the Bible in regard to what you say, cuss words, dirty jokes, and things like that. Then what's happening is that is an area of the Bible that you've not submitted to about guarding your tongue. I said, when it comes to morality, if you're not obeying God in regard to being moral, I said, that just means you're not going to let God run that part of your life. And I said, if you obey God, every area in which you're obeying God, you are saying, God, you are the authority of my life in that area. And he said, you know, this is not as complicated as what I thought. He said, so if I'm obeying God, I'm showing him that I love him. He's trying to help me to succeed. If I'm obeying God, I'm just doing what the scripture said. I said, that's it exactly. He said, and when I'm not obeying God, I'm basically thumbing my nose at him. I said, yeah, kind of. That's kind of what you're doing. We went on. I told him, I said, I think obeying God proves that you're God's friend. That you're his friend. And I told him about the verse in John chapter 15. John 15:14, and it says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And again, I told him, I said, just like love, you don't love God because you say you love God. You love God because you obey God. I said, in the area of friendship, if you say, I'm God's friend, but you don't obey God, then you're not God's friend. I said, and that's not something I'm making up. That's something that the Bible says. The Bible says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I said, if you would like to be God's friend, what you do is obey God. He said, if I obey God, then I'm God's friend. I said, absolutely. You then have God as a friend. You're his friend. I asked him, I said, do you have a lot of friends here? He says, oh, yes, so-called. I said, well, I'll make you a deal. You obey God, he'll become a friend that'll stick closer than any brother ever. I said, you may be lonely here, but if you'll obey God, you'll get a lifetime friend. He'll be a friend like you've never dreamed before. He said, boy, could I use a friend right now? And I got to tell you, the kid was probably about 15. He was from a very rough part of California. And just so you know, he wasn't a street urchin. He was a rich kid. But he was confused. And he was really, really searching. And as I was talking to him, and I was trying to use the simplest of terms, I just had cold chills up and down my spine over the whole thing. You say, why? Because I was just thinking about, this is really what it's all about. It's not as complicated as what we make it. Why do we make it so complicated? Just, if you want to be God's friend, obey God. And if you want to show that you love God, obey God. And if you will, he'll help you to succeed. He'll give you victory in life. He'll be a friend to you. He's what you need. We went on, and I said, you know, if you'll obey God, it's going to make it easier someday for you to face him. He said, face him? I said, yeah. I said, are you saved? And he had already given testimony to salvation. I think he actually got saved earlier in the week. I'd done a week revival for a boys' home, and he got saved earlier in the week. And I said, you're going to face him someday. And he was almost terrified. He thought, face him? Face him? He said, last time I faced the judge, it was terrible. I said, well, it's going to be a little different this time. And I listen to 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I said, you'll face him someday. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. The Bible teaches if you obey him, when you face him, it's going to be a whole lot more pleasant. It's going to be good. You see, God knows the truth about us. And here's what you want. You want to get to heaven. And there's a verse in the Bible where it's teaching us that we ought to want to hear these words from God. Well done. And I said, if you will obey the Bible, you could face God and God could say to you, well done. He said, so if I obey God, when I get to heaven and face him, he could say to me, well done? I said, absolutely. He said, is he going to say it in front of people? I said, well, I don't know, but probably. He said, really, most of the time, everybody just hears how bad I am. I said, well, you get to heaven, there'll be people hear about how good you are. Just obey the Bible. Then I told him, I said, if you'll obey the Bible, it will grow you as a Christian. It'll mature you. He said, I am immature. If you don't believe me, ask my mom. I said, well, it will mature you. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." And I told him, I said, "You need to grow. And God wants you to grow. And I've got to explain to you, God will give you something from the Bible. And if you'll obey it, it will grow you." I said, "Then, if you'll obey what God gave you, He'll give you something else. And that will grow you." But I got to tell you, I think sometimes people hear a lot of good stuff that would grow them, but they don't do anything about it. And I don't think God is under any obligation to give you something more when you wouldn't do anything about what He gave you the last time. I said, so there's kind of a building thing that goes on. If God says to you, read your Bible, obey. Because if you'll read your Bible, then there'll be something else God will give you that will grow you even more. And then you obey that, and then it'll grow you even more. And you could grow into a very strong Christian. He said, "Well, you know, I guess all us baby Christians need to grow." I said, "Yes, you do." I said, "But just so you know, I need to grow too." He said, "Oh, no, you don't." He said, "You don't need to grow." He said, "Yeah, we love to hear you preach around here." He said, "I know who you are, and I love to hear you preach. I was told I was going to love to hear you preach when you came." He said, "And the people here, they just love you. Brother Owens, you don't have to grow." I said, "No, sir, everybody needs to grow." He said, "Even my counselors?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's cool." I suppose he was 14 or 15 years of age. He was as sincere as he could be. And it's kind of a very spiritual appointment. Everybody was on their way. We were standing under a street light out at the camp in Missouri. And he said, "You have a minute?" I said, "Sure. I got to ask you a question." He said, "I hope it's not a dumb question." And I told him, I said, "There are no dumb questions. Ask." He said, "Why am I supposed to obey God?" And I gave him the things that I told you tonight. I had a word of prayer with him. And we went on our way the next night at chapel. He was the first one to walk the aisle. And he went over and got on his knees and opened up his Bible, and he kept looking at the pulpit, kind of peeking up at me while he was praying. And I watched him. He did this. He signaled, and I went over and I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I just want to obey God. I just want to obey God." He said, "Thanks for telling me why I should." He said, "Pray for me. It sounds like I need to learn obey God." I said, "Yes, sir. That's what we all need to do." He bowed his head. I got on an airplane and flew home. I don't know really what all happened during that week. But somehow, I think one 14-year-old boy got a real big, heavy question answered that was so simple. Why? Why obey God?